All right, guys, welcome to episode 30, Turn Back the Clock. We are joined by actually Ray from Philly. Ray, I look back and you were on Turn Back the Clock number 14. And that was, I don't look at a lot of the numbers too much, but with my podcast, that is still the number one episode that I've ever put on my podcast. So you are
really,
my friend.
Wow, that's awesome, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so we're back. We're going to talk a little baseball card Hall of Fame. I want to actually, after we do that, Ray, if it's cool, I want to ask you a few like YouTube questions because you've been on YouTube so long. So just wanted to really get your thoughts on a couple things. But I got to say my co-host, Dylan, Tiger Shark Attack Survivor, joining us here. Did you see that video today, Ray?
No. What?
Dylan put up? Yeah.
No.
It's all the way at the end. It's like now I talked about it. My experience getting attacked by a tiger shark.
You got to, guys, after you watch this one, go over to Dylan's channel and watch his latest video. It's incredible.
See, this is why I live in Philadelphia. We don't have to worry about sharks, or unless it's a lone shark. But other than that, we don't have to worry about that.
A lot of people are scared of the ocean for that reason, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to do this vote. Like, I look forward to this every year. It's one of those things I didn't know existed until YouTube. And now I get to put my say in there and actually have a vote. So I just can't thank you enough, Ray, for putting this on and taking the time out of your day and going to all the channels and getting people to go on there and vote. And I'm going to do a video on my own personal one on my channel to push this even more. So I hope you get a record number of voters. So who doesn't want to vote for their favorite cards to make the Hall of Fame?
Right.
So thank you, Ray.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
So what we're thinking we'd do here, I'm going to pull up my ballot. I haven't submitted it yet, but I have selected my 10 out of the 40. And Dylan and I can go back and forth. We'll each kind of name one card that we're going to vote for, and then Dylan can name one. We'll go back and forth. And I do have a few questions for you, Ray, as far as like, because I always like overanalyze things with this. Like I'm thinking like, why am I voting for this card versus this card? Or like what's, I know there's no right way to vote, but I want to get your thoughts on what would make a card appropriate for the Hall of Fame, maybe in your opinion. You don't have to tell us what you'd vote for, but I find it interesting how people vote for these type of cards, you know, versus the iconic cards or rare cards, you know, the players. So it's a lot to think about with this.
Yeah, it's not easy.
No.
And I tell a lot of people that have been doing the ballot, and it's funny because people are picking their cards and they're picking as they're looking without looking at the whole thing first. And they'll have, boy, I've already picked my eighth card and I'm only on the 18th card. And there's 40 on the list. So, yeah, I try and say it's really tough because as you're going along, you're like, yeah, I really like this one. I try and tell people, look at the whole thing first a couple times up and down, and then, you know, start making your selections, because it's tough. Because I try and do it myself, just looking at it, even though I can't vote. And I remember the first time I looked at it, I had 7 cards in like the first 12. I was like, I only got 28 more cards to go through. And yeah, it's tough. It's really tough.
All right. So I, on YouTube here, this is also going out on the podcast, but on YouTube, I pulled up my ballot, which I haven't submitted yet. So I'll show mine, and then Dylan, you can just kind of tell us, you know, what card. Would you like to go first, Dylan, with your first card you're voting for?
Sure. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're not going to go in any particular order, I'm assuming, but I have the sheet here. So the first card I chose in no particular order, well, I guess there's one that would be in particular order, my number one. But I picked Frank Thomas, 1990 Leaf. Everything about my childhood was like, I feel like 1990 Leaf was the first non-super overprinted set that we found out wasn't super overprinted back in the 1990s. And when this came out, no one knew it wasn't, you know, mass. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was still mass produced, but not like Tops. But then we found out a little later, these things shot up in value within like the year of them coming out. And I remember that. And my dad and my mom, they bought me this set for, it must have been my birthday or Christmas. I think it was like $200. But my dad, I asked him about it a couple nights ago. and he said he would never have spent over $100 on a baseball card for me. So he said there's no way. So I picked the 1990 Frank Thomas because it's like the most iconic childhood card to me, even more iconic than the 89 Upper Deck Griffey to me. This represents my prime time of being a kid and like knowing I'm alive. I'm not like 5 years old. You know, I'm 10 years old. I'm in my like my childhood prime right here. I love this card. I really want it to get in. And it goes in a group of the first four cards I ever submitted to PSA back in 99 or 98. So I love it. That's my first vote.
Good choice.
Ultimate chase card. I remember that very well.
It yeah, was.
I still don't have one, but
dude, I have three of them.
I mean, I need to trade with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to do mine like oldest to newest, just based on how the ballot goes. So man, you know, I'm not the biggest pre-war expert. I don't know that much about pre-war, but I kind of went with pre-war. Like there's some cards that I just recognize, even though I'm not a big pre-war collector, just I recognize certain cards, you know? So the one I start with here that I'm voting for, my first one is the 1909-11 T206 Tris Speaker. Ray, that's his rookie card, right?
The T206 Tris Speaker, the blue back. Yeah, that's his rookie card.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know I've seen that card so many times. I've always loved just the
blue background pops. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just felt like Tris Speaker is an all time great. And that's from T206. It's a recognizable, iconic card. So that's my first vote.
Good choice.
Yeah, I voted for that card as well. Super iconic since I was a kid. Always seen it on magazines. And it's an affordable card, which I mean, I know a lot of these cards on this list are, well, actually this list, there's a lot more affordable ones, but there's some crazy ones, you know, but the first few ballots were some ridiculous ones, but it's nice to get into some affordable ones.
Right.
And that one in particular, man, it is iconic. And I voted for that too. So I'll put that as my number two. And I did already cast my ballot, so I can't change mine in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Well, that gives me a question for you, Ray. Like, so with like the pre-war cards that come before this one, you know, probably a lot of guys would say they're tougher cards, more valuable cards, more important cards. But the way you look at it, do you give more weight to like how iconic a card is, how recognizable, even if there's more of it? For this type of vote, or do you kind of weigh it more towards how tough a card is to find, how rare it is, and how valuable it is?
Well, I look at the iconicness of the card. I look at the rarity also of the card, the value of the card, and also the popularity of the card. I put all four things into consideration, and the player as well. But you know. I try and tell people that it's not really about the player, because there's cards that in the history of collecting are really iconic cards and the player is not anywhere near the Hall of Fame, such as like the 89 Fleer Billy Ripken error card or the 71 Topps Thurman Munson. These guys aren't in the Hall of Fame, but it's about the card. That's why I try and explain to make sure to look at the card. The player, how great the player is definitely helps. So that's it, that helps out in the iconicness of the card. But I try and take all four or five factors into it: the iconicness, the rarity of the card, and most importantly, I would say the popularity of the card.
Yeah, I mean, because like some of these, I'm going on my next one here. This, it's tough to not vote for some of these, but my next one's coming. 1949 Bowman Satchel Paige, a card that I own. You know, it's again iconic card, so I couldn't not vote for this card. I had to. So this is my number two. I don't think I need to explain too much why, but it's Satchel Paige. He only has like three main cards, and this is my favorite as far as from a design standpoint. So 100% have to vote for this one.
Beautiful choice.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a no-brainer for me. And Ray, I watched you with Dr. Beckett, and he made a lot of sense on a lot of things he was talking about. But it's fun to know that we can do our ballot. We can vote how we want to vote, where he wanted, you know, only a certain amount from that set and maybe a certain rarity in this. I'm like, if I'm really being honest about my votes, it almost has nothing to do with rarity. Mm-hmm. It's more for me, it's just cards that I just saw and mm-hmm. they just hit something in my brain. And if I had them on my wall, it'd be dream come true for me. And I think that's kind of how I like to build my collection too, but it's really mm-hmm. fun to hear your take and Dr. Beckett's and everybody you've been on their channels to hear their different takes. Mm-hmm. It makes you think a little bit more too.
Right. And what's strange is that everyone, it sounds like they all have different takes, but at the end of the day, it's pretty much the same. I mean, they pretty much have the same idea as everybody else. And, you know, and that's how I see every year when I see the votes come out. And when I see those top 10 cards, you know, people are pretty much picking, they all have the same idea. They're just looking at it in a different light or a different way. But when it comes down to it, people know what cards are the big 10 on the 40 ballot. They know.
And I know I take it too literally sometimes with words like Hall of Fame, but you know, the card, I think it should be a famous card within the hobby to be in the Hall of Fame. You know,
the popularity is really, really important.
Yep.
Well, Adam, my number three was, I'll take that one's on my list. So,
okay.
Satchel Paige as well. No brainer. I went through my ballot so fast. Like Ray, you said you go through it. I went through it and I knew that I had 10. So as I went through it, I picked them all and then I went back through it. I didn't really change my vote. So I was like, I pretty much nailed it my first round through. I had like one or two that I kind of jumped around, but it felt easy for me.
Right.
And that one, 49 Bowman, Satchel Paige.
Which is good because once you start thinking about it and overthinking about it, you'll change it and change it. Usually your first reaction to it is the one that you go with.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like that's truth in a lot of things, right? Not just this.
Yeah, your first gut reaction.
All right. So my next one then, Dylan, will be 1949 Bowman, Roy Campanella, the next one on the list here. Now that's his rookie card, right?
Again? Yes.
Okay. So it's, you know, it's Roy Campanella's rookie card. That's got to be in the Baseball Card Hall of Fame, in my opinion. So, and I think it's an awesome looking card from an awesome set. So for sure, voting for them.
No brainer. And an affordable card of an all-time great, legendary player, legendary card. When I look at that card, it just screams like, I need you. I want you. I want you in my collection so bad. I can't wait to have that on my wall and look at it. So for some reason, I just still haven't purchased one. It's just one of those that eludes me. So that's my choice as well. So number
and it's affordable. I mean, it's not a comma card, you know, it's under way under 1,000. Yeah. So it's a great card to get.
Yep. And you can get it. I love those cards, especially like those ones. A lot of these cards right there, you don't need to buy a 7. They look really good in twos.
I have it too. Yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah, they look good.
Yeah, especially these older vintage. Vintage looks really good in ones, twos, and threes, especially if they're centered. And I'm all about centering. I bought this in the 2022 National in Atlantic City, and I got a perfectly centered Can't Be Rookie, and it looks great. So
I've seen that one on your channel.
Yeah, you can get a 2 in this card and it looks fantastic, and it's in maybe 500 range, something like that.
Yeah.
All right, so this my next pick here, I think this is like the ultimate criteria as far as where you're looking for how you're going to vote this thing, because although I do look for iconic cards that are recognizable, this next card I'm voting for, the 1950 Tolateros Josh Gibson, that's a card that I would venture that, you know, if you polled the hobby, right, I don't know what percentage would even know about that card. I know a lot of the vintage guys might, but there's big portion of the hobby that have probably never seen this card before. Right. So it is an iconic card, but it's not like a card that is that recognizable, I think, just because how rare it is. And Josh Gibson, this is his earliest card, right? I mean, I'm voting for this one because it's considered his rookie card.
I think. Yeah. It's the closest card to his playing days because he passed away, I think, in 1947. So, and this is the greatest player to never play in the major leagues.
Right.
Yeah. Without a doubt. And this is the closest to his playing days card. Extremely rare and really expensive. And you don't see them come up even in shows. Probably the National, but that's about it. I mean, you just don't see this card come up anywhere.
Now, if this one gets in, Ray, would this be the only post-playing days card of that's ever gotten voted?
Let me see here. I have my list up of what's gotten in. I don't think so. I think, let's see here. Napoleon Lajoie, 33 Gowdy.
Okay.
Is in, and that was past his playing days because I think Lajoie retired in the 20s. Gotcha. Off just quickly looking on the list, that's one that is past his playing days.
Okay.
And Ray, you'll be proud. I printed the list of ones that made it.
Cool.
I came prepared, and I printed pictures of the ones that are on the ballot.
Awesome.
All right, so my pick, I did not choose the Josh Gibson because that's the first time I've ever seen that card in my life. First time I ever heard about that card in my life. So that's awesome for me. I got to see it, but it doesn't strike a chord in me. I have, you know, no desire to get that card in my collection. So I'm not going to vote for it. I wish Josh Gibson had a card that I recognized because he definitely deserves to be in, you know, the Baseball Card Hall of Fame in some way, shape, or form, but I'm not choosing that card. So my choice, my next choice, we'll go with the cards I have in front of me. And that has to be another one from my childhood, 1990 autograph. This is just a mandatory, the first pack pulled autograph in a mainstream pack. It started everything we know about baseball cards to this day. If this doesn't make the Hall of Fame, it's a shame because this is bigger than most every card on the list for what it's done to the hobby.
Right.
And to have this card in my hand as an adult, it's something very special. So I had to vote for this card, and Reggie is my guy. Reggie. There you go.
Yeah. You said exactly what I was going to say. I mean, that's the card that was the first chase card. I would say 1990 Upper Deck Jackson autograph. It's the card that started the cards being autographed today. I mean, before that, it was like taboo to do that. It was defacing the card. Now, everybody wants their cards, get rookie cards of players or any cards of players autographed. And this is the card that started that phenomena, without a doubt.
All right, guys, my next one's kind of a homer pick. I understand people would say Mickey Mantle's already got four cards in and the limit is five. But the fifth card for me, it's got to be the 53 Bowman color. I mean, just personally, it's maybe my favorite looking Mantle card. I've always loved it. So I have to vote for it. I know it probably won't get in based on people in this little niche we're in here. They kind of kick back on Mickey Mantle because he's so overpriced and overpopular and everything. So they probably won't vote for this card, but I had to. I just love it.
Dude, people do kick back at Mickey Mantle, man. I feel like YouTube's like a Mickey Mantle hate club.
Totally.
And Mickey, I mean, of course there's plenty of super collectors of Mantle in there. But people just, I think they forget how great he was. He won the Triple Crown. He almost beat Babe Ruth's record 2 years in a row. He has so much going for him. And when you look at his stats, the guy's top 10. Like, he's in the top for the greatest player of all time. And to go along with, you know, you can vote every single one of his cards in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, because holding a Mickey Mantle is unlike holding anything else. Maybe like a Ty Cobb or a Joe Jackson or a
Lou
Gehrig or Babe Ruth, but he's in that conversation.
Yep.
And I personally love that card, but as a kid, because it didn't have his name on it. I mean, I knew it was Mickey Mantle, but I just didn't. I love the cards with the names on them. So I know that one has a special place in your heart, Adam, and I love that. And one day I hope you have that card as well.
Yep. Mantle is the hobby. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, his name is a pioneer in this hobby, without a doubt. I mean, his name is bigger than, I can't think of any other name in the baseball card hobby where you could buy any card of his from rookie year to last year. And it's a great investment. It's a great card to have. His name, the only other name that I could think of like that when and it's not in baseball would be in basketball, and that's Jordan. But other than that, Mantle is the name in the hobby. And I agree with you guys. With I noticed there's a lot of Mantle haters on YouTube. I've noticed that too. I don't know if it's because maybe they're just tired of hearing the name, but it's like, oh well, this is the this is the name of the hobby. You know, baseball cards and Mickey Mantle are go together.
Yeah, anytime someone comes over to my house and they look on my wall, first thing they do is ask me if I have any Mickey Mantles.
Yeah.
First thing they do is they, you know, of course they ask what the most expensive card, and I go, why don't you choose? They always choose a Mickey Mantle.
Absolutely.
And you know what? They're pretty much always right. Yes, the Mickey Mantles are.
There isn't a bad Mantle card to have. No, not even his last card. There isn't.
Yeah. So good.
That's the only player I could think of from beginning to end. There isn't a bad card to have. Even in regional foods, Bazooka, Red Heart, Stallmeyer's, there isn't a bad Mantle card. This is the only player I know of that doesn't have a bad card.
And with all the crap talking around Mantle in the YouTube community, he gets voted in a whole bunch into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because so people know. People,
you know, no matter what you say, you still want a Mantle.
At the end of the day,
yes,
that's what you want.
Well, he had two. I was looking at, so I'm going to put two links in this podcast and in this video. One is going to be obviously where you can vote, because I want it to be a record-breaking year for voting. I'm going to put that link, but I'm also going to put a link to the cards that are already in, because I love looking at that list. And I looked especially at the inaugural 2018 list, and Mantle had two cards in that inaugural. He had, you know, his 51, 52. So I think that tells a lot about, you know, what cards, if you like, what are the most iconic vintage cards? Look at that list of the 10 that got voted in on year one. That's a good start right there.
Yeah. You know,
those were the cards that made it, the first 10 on this. So I think that means a lot.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
All right, Dylan, what do you got next?
Okay, next one, I'm going to do the Jimmy Fox 1933 Gowdy rookie card. I mean, I call it a rookie card, whatever you guys want to say. It's iconic. It's another one that I dreamed about having on my wall, and now it's on my wall, and I look at it all the time, and I stare at it, and I can't get enough. So, Jimmy Fox, let's get you in there. A well-deserved card to make it, and an affordable card. This is $400. So, right. You can afford this card. This isn't the perfect copy, but it works for me, works for my eyes.
And that's his rookie card too, or?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as you can tell, I like the rookie cards. That I'm a big rookie card guy, so
yeah,
that means a lot to me. All right, my next one, Ted Williams, 1954 Wilson Franks. I love this card. I don't own it. It's a very expensive card, but I just feel like I'd love to see this set get a card in the Baseball Card Hall of Fame, just because it's so awesome. So I figured this is the chance probably for that from that set. So I'm voting for this one. I love the card. I'd love to have it someday.
It's an extremely popular Ted Williams card. Everybody loves this card.
Yeah.
Ted Williams with a pack of hot dogs above him is, you know, awesome. And with the white backdrop just does it for me. I would love to have this card.
Well, I never even knew the Wiener set existed until I got on YouTube. I know it sounds crazy, but when you buy cards on the internet and you don't go to shows, except I went to Frank & Sons, but I didn't talk to the dealers because they don't talk to you. I was buying wax back then, but I never saw a Wiener's card in my whole life. I didn't even know they existed. And seeing that, I'm sure I saw it in my childhood, but I never struck a bell with me. But I dream about having that card one day, but I did not vote for it because it's not part of my iconic list in my brain. And I love it.
Yeah, he's in there quite a few times. He's got his 39 play ball. I think he's got the 54 Bowman. So he does have two in there. We'll make sure he doesn't have another one. I think that's it. Yeah, so.
And he's got another one on the ballot, too. He's got the 41 play ball on the ballot this year.
Yeah, he has two on the ballot this year. The 41 play ball, that's the first year ever on the ballot. I couldn't leave that off. I was just like.
Yeah.
Did you vote for that one, Dylan?
So, yeah, that'll be my next vote.
Okay.
1941 play ball, Ted Williams. That season alone deems it worthy to make the Baseball Card Hall of Fame. And I saw this card as a kid on albums, on pictures, on magazines, everywhere I looked. I probably had pictures of this card on my wall. I love that card so much. I want that one. And, of course, I want the Joe DiMaggio from that set. One day I will have both of them. And I don't have either right now, but that to me, the 41 play ball, Ted Williams is just spectacular.
Popular card. Very popular card. I mean, the 40 and the 41 are the same card, but the 40 is black and white and there's just something better.
Well, 41 is when it happened.
Yeah.
Who cares about 40?
Exactly.
The season isn't 41. 41 right. is the season that means something. So,
yeah. That's probably if not the greatest season ever, when you have the last time someone hit 400 and probably the toughest record ever, 56 game hitting streak. So yeah,
two records that
are impossible today.
They never be broken.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like one day someone's going to break both of those records one day, but it's possible that they never get broke.
It's possible. Very possible.
I've heard that said a bunch of times, like that people like the 40 more than the 41. And for me, it's not even close.
That's 41 not even,
is literally it's like
way better.
It's not even a close call for me. I don't understand. Yeah. I mean, everyone has their own opinion. It's collecting cards. But Ray, I wanted to ask you on that. I don't think the 41 DiMaggio is voted in yet, and it's not on the ballot. Thoughts on that? Should that card be looked at the same way as the 41 Williams?
I think so too, because it's of that magical season. DiMaggio does have his 38 Gaudi heads up that got in inducted last year. The 39 play ball also got in, so he has two cards in there. And people have already, when they make their suggestions, have already suggested that 41 play ball because of, like, Ted Williams with that iconic year, greatest year ever in baseball. So yeah, that's definitely being into consideration for next year's ballot for sure.
Good. All right. I didn't even think about that one because I thought it was already in. I know because I'm like, it has to be in. I know it's in.
Well, you got to be like, all right, what's more impressive, 406 or 56 game hitting streak? You know, so it's so. You could debate that all day long. What's harder to do? I don't know. They're both awesome.
I would say slightly more tougher edge on the 56 game hitting streak, especially with the media today, and it's just tougher.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. 57. My next one, guys. 57 Topps Brooks Robinson rookie card. This one, just I've seen it so many times. For me, it's so iconic. It's so famous. And Brooks Robinson was one of those guys, along with, you know, Mantle, Mays, Hank Aaron. But for whatever reason, Brooks Robinson was a guy I heard a ton about when I was a kid, just from my coaches, from my dad, just best defensive third baseman ever. Like, who's that? Brooks Robinson at third, whenever someone would make a great play at third. So for me, it's just a guy that's always been ingrained in my head and a card that is so famous to me that I had to vote for it.
Yeah, I did not vote for that card, but it's an awesome card.
All right, so let's give us another one of yours.
Okay, another one of mine. I'm sticking with the theme here, cards that just, they're everything to my collecting world, and that is the Michael Jordan Upper Deck SP from 1991. Every box had an SP card or was supposed to. I never opened a box, but my friend down the street, Dave Windsor, his mom would come home every week with a box hunting for the Ryan autograph and the Michael Jordan. And I love this card. And I think it earned a place in the Baseball Card Hall of Fame. I think it needs to be in there. Michael Jordan playing baseball.
Yeah.
It was so iconic at the time. And it's an affordable card, which is so great. This is my childhood one. I just sent it in. I wish I wouldn't have sent it in now that I do my own slabs. Wasted $15 here, but you know, it is what it is. I got it now. So that's my next vote.
Yeah. Jordan is great name. Great name in basketball. And when you put him in baseball, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Still crazy to even think when I start thinking about that. It's like, even at the time, it was amazing. But then now looking back, it's even more incredible that he did that.
I don't know that it was like, okay, here, I'll be upfront. I don't look at it as like, that was so amazing, because he was famous enough where they were going to give him a shot no matter what, right? He could have signed up for ping pong and they would have given him a shot.
Yeah.
He obviously wasn't good enough to make it all the way. And he kind of took someone's place, right? Who probably been trying to make the pros for 10 years. I just, not to knock Michael Jordan as an athlete, but to me, it's like, dude, if the guy wanted to switch sports, he's the most famous basketball player, they're going to let him and give him a chance. So I don't look at it as like this great accomplishment by Jordan, but I still think the card is just too glorious and too important to the hobby to not make it in.
Yeah, I think for me, the amazing thing was that he actually did it. Not that he was like, because he was, you know, we could tell he's not a caliber MLB player, right? He just, like you said, he got the opportunity because he's Michael Jordan. But the fact that he did it at the prime of his career, pretty much, he was winning championships. And he's like, I'm going to go play baseball. That's just crazy.
That is pretty radical to do that.
And he held his own.
Yeah.
I mean,
he got some,
some good at bats. Yeah, he had a couple homers. He wasn't terrible.
Guys, my next one, my same reasoning as the Brooks Robinson with the 58 tops Roger Maris rookie. Love Roger Maris. Not in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but every time this stays on, I voted for it last year, didn't get in, but I'm voting for it again. It's just a famous, iconic card for me that I want to vote for.
Yeah, that was a no-brainer for me. That one should be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. Ever since I was a kid, I've owned that card forever. I finally sold it because it was off-centered in my collection. And I'm looking to find another one. And I can't wait for the day that I get one. Love that card. So there we go. It's voted in.
Yep. His name is synonymous forever in folklore. You know, 61 and 61. Roger Maris.
Well, Ray, since we're giving suggestions and that's on my list, I think his 61... Topps card has to be in the Hall of Fame. I think that this should be on the ballot next year. This is his most iconic card in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But his rookie, you know, it needs to be in there too. But Roger Maris, 1961 is just goodness. And then I also, for a suggestion for next year's ballot or future ballot, the home run leaders card from 1962, Topps. Number 53 with Mickey.
Good choice too. Yeah,
I think both of these should be on the ballot in the future, whether that's next year. I brought those out for recommendations.
Cool beans. All right, got it.
My next one, guys, kind of like the Josh Gibson card. It's just a card that I didn't actually even know about until I got on YouTube. No idea this thing existed. The 1968 Topps 3D Roberto Clemente. Just an awesome looking card. It's a very expensive card. I guess it's not like, it's in a different category as like the Brooks Robinson and the Roger Maris rookie that I've seen since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that it's so chased after, high demand, and looks awesome and so unique, the story behind it, that I had to vote for it.
Yep. It's in some grades, it's more than his rookie card. And this is 13 years later, and that's because it's the 3D image. It's prone to cracking, and it's rare. And I've never seen this in a high grade, but I've seen it in mid grades, and it goes for above 10 grand in a 4 or 5. So this is more valuable than his rookie card, and this is 13 years after his rookie.
Right.
You know who would not vote for this card to make it into the Hall of Fame?
Who's that?
Roberto Clemente, because he hated the fact that they put Bob on his baseball cards.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
And I feel like you can't vote a card about a note. The player would would hate that card to be in there, but he does that. It is an iconic card and all, but I just, you know, making a funny point there. John 3D80's kid, he wouldn't vote for that one either.
Right. Fair point. I can't change my vote now though. I'm sticking. So what do you got, Dylan? What's next?
It's my last one, right?
Yeah, I think we're at the last one here.
Last one, guys. This guy is one of the most. I don't understand if you guys voted for George Brett's rookie card. There's only a few. I mean, you got Ozzie Smith. You got Eddie Murray's rookie in there. How can we not have Robin Yount in the Baseball Card Hall of Fame? I'll go to the next page. You know, how can we not have those guys together in the Hall of Fame? They need Robin Yount rookie card is my favorite baseball card of all time in history. It means more to me than any baseball card within itself of in history. For me, is this card. I really hope it gets in. It would mean a lot to me if anyone is out there listening and they have an extra vote, or they even, you know, they like me at all. If you give this Robin Yount a vote, I would really appreciate it. It would really mean the world to me. I know it sounds stupid and silly, but this, I mean, not to us, right? This YouTube voting for these Hall of Fame cards means a lot to me. I have a lot of them on my wall, and I have this one on my wall, and I hope that it makes it in there. So anyone that has an extra vote and they don't know where to put it, or they, I mean, to me, it truly deserves to be in there regardless. But yeah, I'm begging for votes, and I really want this thing to be in. So that's my final vote. Final and best vote.
Well, this is an awkward moment, folks. I have one vote left, and I have not scrolled down yet to reveal. Will it get my vote? And the answer is, of course. Of course it's getting my vote.
Yes. Thank you, Adam. Thank you. You are a true friend.
It's a combination of, it is a great card. Look at everything about it. It's Dylan's card though. I could not vote for this card. You know, I had to, so I did. And I think everyone else should too. Whether you're listening on the podcast, you're watching this, get to that link and vote for this card if you haven't voted yet.
Thank you, Adam. That means a lot. And it's an iconic card.
It is. It's an iconic card that I've seen since I was a kid. Same thing.
If you got the bread in there, how is Yount not sitting right next to it in the Hall of Fame? It's kind of, it's just, it has to be in there.
Yeah. When you think of 75 tops, those are the two guys. I mean, they have other rookies in there like Rice and Carter and Hernandez, but it's these two. It's Brett and Yount. It's like, you have to say it together. It's Brett and Yount.
Yes. Yep.
Ray, I got a question though, because there's so many awesome cards that we could have voted for here. One of them, I had a question on so that 1983 Tony Gwynn rookie, you have the Opeachy version. What was the thought process to get the Opeachy on the ballot instead of the regular Topps version?
Well, because it was from Canada and it's a tougher, a little bit more rarer card than the Topps version of it. And it's a pretty popular card. I mean, no, I have the Topps card, and Mike Payne has a set registry out there that it was the top 80 of the 80s. He then extended it to the top 100 of the 80s, and he has the 83 Gwynn in there, but he doesn't have it in the Topps. It's the Opeachy. So when I saw that, it got me really starting looking at Gwynn's Opeachy rookie rather than his Topps. And it's not a real cheap card. I mean, I have his Topps rookie in a 9. There's no way I can afford his Opeachy in a 9. I'm looking at like a 5 or a 6. So when I saw that on the Mike Payne's top 100 of the 80s, and that just kind of did it for me. I was like, yeah, you know, everyone knows about the Topps, Boggs, Sandberg, and Gwynn, but the Opeachy is really much, much rarer. Our friends up north, it's a much rarer card and more valuable. So I wanted to give a little bit of a recognition to the other companies, because there's a lot of cards out there where the player will have Topps and an Opeachy version of it. And I thought this was the one to go with the Opeachy version, especially since it's in the top 100 of the 80s.
Got it. That makes total sense. And guys, I just submitted my ballot. So
all right.
Ballot in. And I'm going to take that off the screen here.
I got a few things before we close.
Yeah, before we, another 5-10 minutes, Ray, if you got time.
Sure.
We both got a couple questions for you. That's cool.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
You want to go? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's some modern stuff that I think there's a lot of modern collectors is like probably at home just being like, why aren't these modern? And I like there's the one on the ballot that I think should get in, but I don't think it should I don't think it deserves to be in quite yet. And that's the Pujols and Ichiro combo rookie card.
Love that card.
I hope that you don't take it off if it doesn't get voted in. I mean, you can take it off in my opinion. This is just my opinion, me running my brain. I think once Pujols makes the Hall of Fame, you put it back on the list because they'll both be in the Hall of Fame, and that's when I will vote for it. Because it just sunk a rule in me, you know, I think that card is going to be the most iconic, you know, combo rookie card ever.
Yeah.
As soon as he gets voted into the Hall of Fame. And I just don't want that card to disappear.
Well, I don't take cards off. The rule is the top 10 get voted in and the bottom 5 get bumped off. But they don't get bumped off permanently. I wanted to make a case with 2 cards that are on the ballot this year, the Campanella rookie and the 90 Upper Deck autograph Reggie Jackson. The Campy rookie was in the 2022 ballot and got bumped off for 23 because it was in the bottom 5. Now, my original rule was to keep a card off for like 3 years, but I couldn't keep Campy off for 3 years. I just kept him off last year, being that he was in the bottom 5 in 22. So he was only off last year. I had to put him back on this year. Reggie was on the ballot, I think, in 21. He was in the bottom 5 and got bumped off. He's been off for the last 2 years. He's now back on. So if the Ichiro Pujols gets bumped off, it would be because it's in the bottom 5. I don't think you have to worry about it. That's all I'm going to say. It's a great card. This is on my bucket, my goals list for this year. Is one of my, I have a list of 10 cards I want to get. I've already picked up 3 of them. This card's on my list because of what you said. The only multiplayer rookie card out there is Alan Trammell with Paul Molitor, 78 tops. This is Ichiro Suzuki. No offense to Trammell, Molitor.
And there's only
this
2.
This is Ichiro and Pujols.
Yep.
And next year, this card's going to go like this because Ichiro is up for Hall of Fame next year in 2025. That's why I made it a goal for me for this year to get that card before next year gets here.
when is Pujols like 3 years?
He's gonna be like maybe 2 more years after. Like, I know Ichiro's in 25. Pujols, I think, is I think his last year was 22, so maybe 29. So Pujols still has a ways to go.
Okay,
but Ichiro's next year.
Yeah, I know. I've seen his cards double in price over the last like 6 months, and so I just stopped collecting them. Like, dang it! Yeah. I love this card.
I love this card. That's why I put it on. It's a great.
I have that card, Ray, in a PSA 9, the gold version. Woo.
Yeah, there's a Topps traded and a Topps chrome, and I don't think there's a third version. I know there's Topps traded.
I have the parallel.
That's even
the one number to, the one number to 2001.
Awesome.
So it's pretty sick. I think I bought it last year.
That's awesome. Great card.
Okay, good. I'm glad it's not gonna leave us forever.
Nah,
I know you mentioned that in other things, but I wanted to clarify.
No, good question, good choice. I mean, yeah, it's a great card.
So Ray, speaking of, I mentioned inaugural class of Baseball Card Hall of Fame. You were in the inaugural class of the YouTube Sports Card Hall of Fame. You've been on, how long have you been on with a channel on YouTube?
Since 2015, so 9 years.
That's a long time in this world.
Old. Yeah, I'm old.
What are your, the way you see YouTube now with sports cards, do you see it, do you like it better now, or did you like it better when you first started, or what's the biggest differences that you see?
I really liked it when it first started. It was a small, intimate kind of group, and it seemed to be more about people loving the cards and the hobby. So I like it both ways. I initially kind of liked it from like 15 to 18 because it was a smaller group and it just wasn't so much about the flipping and money part of it. It was more so about just sharing cards and knowledge and all that. But then recently in the past 2 years, I'm started to like what I've been seeing recently because there's just a lot more channels popping up that are showing a lot of great cards, and I'm still picking up and learning more stuff myself. So from like 18 to 22, I was like, it was really good in the first 3 years I was on it. The past couple of years has been just, you know, all about flipping and investments and money. But the past year or two with a lot of these new channels coming up that are vintage guys, it's really been a lot of fun. I started to like kind of felt it was stale, like 18, 19, 20, 21, maybe. But the past 2 years is kind of invigorated, if that makes any sense. It's been a lot of vintage guys and a lot more hobby enthusiasts and not as much, you know, flipping and money investment wise. It's just been how it was when I first started. So it seems like it's back in a recycle of where I first started, which is awesome.
Well, that sucks, Ray. I was just going to ask you what card you thought was going to be worth the most money next year.
Well,
just kidding.
Any Mantle? No.
Sorry, Adam.
No, I just think it's cool that, like, you see all the Strongsville show stuff, and it's just cool that it's like guys in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 30s, whatever. Guys are making new friends because of you. I think that's cool.
That's what, like, I'm saying. The last 2 years, I've seemed like I made a lot of friends in the beginning, the first 4 years. And then, like I said, it seemed like it got real stale in the middle, like 19, 20, 20. But the last 2 years, it's like I've made, like you guys, I mean, I've made so many more new friends just in the past 2 years. It's like quadrupled. And it's the vintage has just exploded even more. It, like I said, in the middle, it seemed like it was a lot of modern packs, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it just seems like vintage is going absolutely nuts the past 2 years with all these new vintage channels. It's more to see and more to talk about and more friends. So it's great. It's been invigorating the past 2 years.
That's awesome.
Dylan, any last words?
I have three more recommendations for the ballot for next year.
Cool.
For the future.
Wait, Dylan, hold on. Before you do that, I want to, before you ask that, how do people, like someone who might listen to this on a podcast, Ray, that's not on YouTube or whatever, is there a way that they could submit a recommendation to you? Are you on Instagram, or is there a way to get in contact with you?
If on my channel, either Sports Card Hall of Fame YouTube channel or Ray from Philly channel, on that video for the Hall of Fame, they can post a comment in that video and say, here's a suggestion for next year. And I've gotten tons of them already. that's the best way now. Or if they do a video response, they could do it that way and make a suggestion that way. But I would say for right now, just post a comment on the videos. I'm working on trying to enhance that for the future and how people can have a better way of reaching me to make suggestions. But this year is the most suggestions I've ever gotten, because usually I might have gotten like 10, maybe 20 responses. It's been like triple that this year.
Well, let's get three more, Dylan.
Yeah.
Okay. First one, I think the 1992 Donruss Elite autograph of Cal Ripken Jr. I think that one should be in there. Then the 1993 Finest Refractor Jr.
I was going to say that.
Should be in. And then the 19, I know this has been mentioned, but a combo card, and I think none other than, you know, the 1992 Manager's Dream, Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays, like, no-brainer.
That 62 Topps Manager's Dream, I was going to state this at the end, that a couple of channels made suggestions of combo cards or collaborative cards with multiple players on there.
I heard those.
And the number one choice was the 62 Topps Manager's Dream.
Wow.
That people were giving me. Because it's Mantle and Mays. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great ones like Fence Busters, Rival Fence, Rival fences, rival busters or whatever, the Buck Blasters, you know, there's the 57 World Series of Aaron and Mantle on there. There's dozens of combo cards out there, but the 62 Topps Manager's Dream was huge. And then I was thinking on my own a couple weeks ago before I did this year's ballot of a modern card, and that 93, that 93 Finest set blew my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a note. That one's a no brainer. And I think that'll get a lot of the modern, more modern people involved.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. They can rightly show Finest Refractor, the first one. And Donruss Elite's very memorable for a lot of us as
Yeah.
There we go. That's my suggestions for you, right?
I was awesome. I'm glad you said that, because I was looking at what's in already and what's on the ballot. And there is definitely a huge gap between like Mike Trout in 2011 versus like there's no cards that are in that. You know, I'm someone who likes to collect the 90s era cards, you know, the mid to late 90s. I would love to see a card like, as much as it pains me to say it, the 1996 Derek Jeter Select Certified Mirror Gold. That's like his ultimate chase card for Derek Jeter collectors. That set is in for 90s baseball collectors. That's like the holy grail set. And I'm trying to think, like, you know, obviously I'd rather have the Pedro Martinez from that set, but from a general hobby thing, that the Jeter is the chase card. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see at least a couple cards from that era, whether it's a PMG, Essential Credentials, some of those cards I think would bring some more people to this. And also, I think they deserve to be on there because they are part of hobby history.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. And you're right, because after, I'd say from 1990 to current, there's four cards in the Hall of Fame. We have the 90 Score Bo Jackson. That's the football pads. The 90 Topps Frank Thomas, no name. The 93 SP Derek Jeter rookie, and the Trout Topps update. So, yeah, four cards. I could see that should. That there needs to be,
I think you did it. I think you did it perfectly. I mean, it makes sense. All the old ones, the iconic ones, they needed to get in first.
Yeah.
There's like voting for Babe Ruth. It's a no brainer. You get those ones in, but I think the way it's coming now, you're thinning out the herd. And I think, yeah, I think it is time to let some of those 90s.
Yeah. And that's how I approached it in the beginning, because I'm like, these, the newer cards, say from 80 to current, there's a lot of them that deserve to be in due time.
Yeah.
But I felt that all those ones from the turn of the century, T206 and Cracker Jacks and Gowdy's, it's like, there was no brainers. They had to kind of get in before. But yeah, I mean, all of those cards, I mean, this is going to go on forever. So you're going to, you know, these cards eventually are going to get in.
So
long may you run Baseball Card Hall of Fame. We've got plenty of time, hopefully.
Yes.
And to your point, Ray, you know, those 90s cards I'm talking about, we may never even have seen those had it not been for some of these real old cards that set the way for the hobby. So totally agree. You know, it makes complete sense.
And there's a lot of trendsetters from the 90s. I mean, that's the decade that started the Chrome. You know, you had Bowman Chrome came out and Topps Chrome. And all that. So, and the Finest to me was huge in 93.
Yep. The birth of the refractor.
Yep. That's just like the 90 Upper Deck Jackson Auto started the autograph craze on cards. That Finest started the refractor. So that's a symbolic set. And there's two cards really in that set in 93 Finest. So you got Ken Griffey Jr. or Barry Bonds.
Right. Right. Well, all right, guys, this was fun. Ray, thanks for doing this, man. This is just so fun. I'm so glad that you developed this, and it's something I look forward to every year. So I'm already looking forward to next year when you come on and we see what's on the ballot. Dylan,
thank you.
Any last words?
No, I just appreciate you, Ray. I can't believe it's already been another year. I mean, time goes fast. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man. I appreciate you guys and your support. Appreciate you having me on, getting the word out there. I'm hoping to see to get over 500 votes this year would be tremendous. You know, I'm about halfway there. So, and the voting ends May 13th, which is 2 weeks from yesterday, Monday, May 13th. So there's still a pretty good amount of time. And I'm going to do the induction video on Wednesday, May 15th, because it's going to take me 2 days to calculate and tabulate the votes and create all the list of showing what five is the bottom and what cards just missed and the top 10. So, yeah, people still have 2 weeks to vote. Spread the word. And, you know, I appreciate you guys and all your help.
All right, guys. Well, that's it. Episode 30 in the books. Thanks, as always.